Good morning. I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 to start out. Genesis chapter 3. Good to be with you today and appreciate you joining us. We continue into this season of Christmas. I'm thankful for it and thank you for the singing that you shared with us this morning as well. Most of us have at some point or another in our life's experience, we've watched a movie or a program or a drama in which the good guy had a gun. And the bad guy's standing there and the good guy's got the gun and maybe the good guy's not the great hero, exciting law enforcement guy, Rambo type fella, but he's still the hero of the movie, and he's got the gun, and the bad guy's there, and the bad guy doesn't have a gun, and the good guy pulls his gun, and he's a little shaky with the gun. You've seen it. You've watched that. And the bad guy takes that opportunity to try to intimidate the good guy. Says, you don't know how to use that gun. You wouldn't use that gun. You're not man enough to use that gun. Just put the gun down. Tries to intimidate him. You know, we have an enemy. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, actually, we all have an enemy. Whether you know the Lord Jesus as Savior or not, that enemy is Satan. And we've been considering together over the past month some of the attacks of Satan that he has against those who know the Lord Jesus. And we've been looking at attacks that you have anonymously shared are the attacks that Satan most often uses against you. We ask you to give us one, and you did, and we put them together, and we've been looking at those, and we've come down to the last one that we began a couple of weeks ago. And basically, these are attacks regarding the Bible. Now, there are many attacks regarding the Bible, but the particular ones we're looking at are the ones you turned in. One person wrote on their card, lack of knowledge. And the other wrote, understanding. And I took both of these to be concerning the Bible and a lack of knowledge of the Scriptures. And also a struggle with understanding the Bible and what God is saying to us. I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 because we want to begin there with not something from a drama, not something from a movie or the mind of a television producer, but rather a real life experience of a woman named Eve and a man named Adam. Genesis chapter 3, we read about the serpent. We find that Satan has taken the body of the serpent and is using this animal to come and to attack God's people regarding God's word. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Here we find the original attack on the Word of God. Here Satan comes against Eve, and he's coming against you, and he's coming against me, and he's coming against us with many different attacks, but some of those attacks regard the Bible. Did God actually say that? Are you sure that's what God said? Are you sure that's not just what you've been hearing or you've been thinking? Did God actually say that? Eve had gotten things a little bit twisted up. She had the right answer, but she added to it. God had said, don't eat of that tree, and she added in there, don't even touch it. Already the attack coming regarding the Word of God accurately given as God had given it. And then Satan comes and he says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. God is telling you this because he's trying to keep something from you. And Satan attacks Eve regarding the Word of God. I want to ask you to turn now to James chapter 1. We looked at part of this chapter 2 weeks ago as we began to consider four principles that I'm suggesting will aid us in turning back attacks regarding our knowing and understanding the Bible. And so we're going to pick back up in verse 17. When we read last time, we'll read verse 17 or begin in verse 16 and go down through verse 25. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. That's a good place to start after we just read about Eve, isn't it? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We began to look at these four principles that we're drawing from this section, where we actually find Satan attacking with temptation. We didn't have time to read the first part of the chapter, but in the context there, we find that the believers that he's writing to, including us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, going through times of trials, times of testing, and times of temptation. And he has given them instruction on dealing with that. And so we're taking these instructions on trials and temptations, and we're seeking to make application to these attacks regarding the Bible, which you noticed very clearly there in verses 22 to 25 is addressed. And so we've been looking at some victory principles. First of all, we looked at the principle of desire. This gift that God has given us, every good and perfect gift from him. And one of these gifts is the word that he has communicated to us in the scriptures. We saw the importance of desiring to know the word of God. As a baby, longing for milk, that we would long for the sincere milk of the word. And then we thought about that principle of dependence, that it's God on whom we must depend to truly know and understand the Bible. It's only he that can open up our understanding, the Father of lights, the unchanging God, who desires for us to know the truth, because the truth is what's going to truly set us free and give us that victory. And then the principle of delivery. We found that as we considered this in verse 18, that of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. We're reminded that the only way that we're really going to be able to understand the word of God is that we first have been delivered into the family of God, that we've been born again, that we've been born from above. If you're here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you may be a great person. You may be a brilliant person. You may be a helpful person, even a religious person. But if you've never come to the point where you've seen yourself as a sinful person, a guilty person before God, a person responsible to answer to God who made you and me, if you've never come to the point where you've recognized yourself as a helpless person, and that your only hope of ever being forgiven and having a right relationship with God and going to heaven is that if some other person, a perfect person, somehow took your punishment for you, and you recognize that perfect person as the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we've been singing about this morning, the one who did come, and the one who did go to that cross, and the one who did die as our substitute, taking our sin upon Himself, and then rising again from the dead, victorious over death. He has given us the great privilege of being in the family of God, but only to those who believe on His name. Only to those who receive Him as Savior. Only to those who say, I cannot do it. But the Lord Jesus has already done it. And I trust Him as my Savior. And you, when you receive Him, you're born into the family of God, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And He opens up the Scriptures that you might understand them. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that at the moment you trust Christ, that suddenly you know every Scripture and you understand it all. No, it's a process of learning and growing. And that's brought us to our last victory principle, that of decision. And we're going to look at that this morning in verses 19 to 25, because let me remind you, as we started to say last time, that in order to really know the Word of God, in order to really understand the Scriptures, you're going to have to make some decisions. Now, I'm giving you a little jump start. 3 weeks from the day, 2012 begins. If you're one of those people who like to make resolutions, or one of those people who feel like you should, or maybe set goals, or maybe make commitments, and you see the beginning of the new year as a good time to do that. Any time's a good time to do it, by the way. But if you want to look toward that, you got 3 weeks. And the time to really make those commitments is not January the 1st. But you know, December the 11th is a great time to start that. Start making decisions now that you can really implement on January 1st, if not before. So you got 3 weeks to plan. So we're going to look at some decisions here regarding knowing and understand the Word of God. Again, first of all, you got to have the desire. If I'm talking to you and you really don't care whether you know the Word of God any better or whether you really understand it, then this is not going to mean a lot to you. If you've not come to that point where you realize that to understand and know the Word of God, you've got to depend on God, then you're not going to really get much out of what we say this morning. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then what we're going to share now is not going to be directly applicable to you. But if you find yourself in those categories, I'm not telling you to take a nap. All right, I want you to stay with me. Because the Word of God is powerful, and it's alive, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it can speak to your heart this morning right where you are. So we're going to look at these decisions. First of all, we mentioned last time that we've got to decide to prioritize. We find here in verse 19 that James is challenging us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, to prioritize. He's not saying, I don't want you ever to speak. That's not his point. And he's not saying that there's never a place for righteous anger. We have seen even in this study of the attacks of Satan that there is a place for that. But he's saying you need to prioritize, and I want you to put listening ahead of speaking. I want your ears to be open to God. I want your heart to be open to God. And in order to do that, you've got to choose to pursue knowledge and understanding. You've got to choose that you're going to put listening to the Word of God and learning the Word of God, you're going to have to put that ahead of some other things. Proverbs 23, verse 12, tells us to apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. You've got to be committed with your heart. You've got to decide that this is important enough in your life that as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you want to know more of what He is saying to you. You want to understand more of His communication to you. This is the communication of God. Don't expect to get a vision. Don't expect to hear a voice telling you something beyond what's in the Scripture. Here is God's communication, and He wants us to know what He's saying. But we've got to put that ahead of other things. We've got to realize that if I'm going to apply my heart to wisdom and I'm going to apply my ears to words of knowledge, that means I'm going to have to invest time. And I'm going to have to invest energy. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're not going to know the Word of God as well as you would like to or need to. Now, it's obvious you're willing to invest some time. You're here this morning. You could be somewhere else. Many people are other places this morning. Many of them are not under the sound of the Word of God. They've made a choice. And I commend you on the decision that you have made to prioritize this hour in your week to be under the sound of the Word of God and be with the people of God. But I also must be honest and tell you, if you really want to know God's Word and you really want to understand God's Word, it's going to take more than 1 hour a week. And you're going to have to do some prioritizing, and there are going to be some things that you may be doing in your life that are not bad things. They're not sinful things. And yet you're going to need to put being in the Word of God and studying the Word of God, you're going to have to put that ahead of those other good things if you really want to know and understand the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're challenged to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to be able to take the word of God and cut it straight, which is what he means there, then you're going to have to be diligent. There's not another way to get there. We'd like for it just to be something where we can put our Bible under our pillow and lay down at night and wake up the next morning and have a greater knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. But it doesn't work like that. The Spirit of God must open the truths to you. But if you're not in the Word of God, if I'm not in the Scriptures, I cannot expect God to somehow miraculously infuse that into me, though He could. Yet He has said, I want you to apply your heart to wisdom. I want you to apply your ears to words of knowledge. First of all, we've got to decide to prioritize. Secondly, as we see in the beginning of verse 21, we've got to decide to purify. Notice there at the beginning of that verse, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay these things aside. In other words, there can be hindrances in our lives to knowing and understanding the Word of God. The King James calls it superfluity of naughtiness. Remember that little phrase. We're going to come back to it in a few minutes under another point. Superfluity of naughtiness. We're to lay these things aside. Now, many people, as we celebrate Christmas, many people are going to sing about Santa Claus. And they're going to tell you that Santa Claus knows if you've been naughty or nice. He's checking his list twice. Now he's going to find out. Well, Santa Claus doesn't know about that, but God knows about that, doesn't he? He knows if there's been naughtiness or niceness. He knows everything that we're doing, everything that we're thinking, everything that we're saying. And, you know, we may look at one another and think, hey, I don't see anything in that person's life where they're would be going against God, the best that I can tell. They've laid aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. But, you know, God is looking down in our hearts, and He knows. And we may be able to hide everything from one another, but, you know, the Lord knows what's in our hearts. He knows our attitudes. The word picture here that James is using and laying aside is taking off dirty clothing. And the Lord sees the clothing as it really is that we're walking in. We may be able to hide it from others, but God sees it. And why should God teach me more of His communication if I won't respond to what He's already taught me? If He's revealed to me that this is sin in my life and I'm not willing to let go of that, I want to hold on to that while I go about trying to live for the Lord, but hanging on to this little area, why should I expect God to give me any more information and understanding? I've got to lay it aside. Sin in my life will interfere with my understanding of the Word of God. The commentator Albert Barnes, commenting here on this verse that we're looking at, says the particular reference in these passages is to the reception of the truth. And the doctrine taught is that a corrupt mind, a mind full of sensuality and wickedness, is not favorable to the reception of the truth. It is not fitted to see its beauty, to appreciate its value, to understand its just claims, or to welcome it to the soul. Purity of the heart is the best preparation always for seeing the force of truth. Are we willing to truly deal with sin in our lives? We will be if we truly want to know and understand the Word of God. Many of you are familiar with John Bunyan, the writer of many years ago. He authored The Pilgrim's Progress. It says that it's been said that in his Bible he had written these words that you've probably heard and maybe have in your own Bible. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And as we hold on to and harbor sin in our minds and our hearts, it's going to hinder our time in the Word of God and our understanding of the Word of God. We've got to decide to purify. Thirdly, we've got to decide to personalize. Notice as he goes on in verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Receiving for ourselves, exposing ourselves to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to truly come into us and become a part of us. Exposing ourselves to the Word of God in reading the Word of God. Exposing ourselves to the Word of God in hearing and listening to trustworthy teaching of the Word. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul wrote to Timothy that as he called him, a son in the faith. And he says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Catch this last phrase, knowing from whom you have learned them. We must recognize that everybody that speaks of the Word of God is not truly speaking the Word of God. We've got to know who we can trust with the Scriptures, that we'll know who we should listen to. We must be careful as we hear the Word of God. Here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, the elders seek to be very careful regarding the teaching that comes from the Scriptures here publicly. The people that we would ask to speak are people that we have confidence in, that they're going to rightly divide the Word of God. We encourage you to be at the meetings that we have here where the Word of God is taught, at all the meetings, but at the meetings where the Word of God is taught, that you can be exposed, that you can meekly, humbly receive that implanted Word that God will use in our lives. It's able to save our souls from hell. Praise God. But it's also able to save our souls from giving in to Satan. It's also able to save our souls from failing to understand the realities of God's Word and what they really mean to our lives where we live right now. The living Word of God. Proverbs 12:1 says that whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. You may not be able to be at all of the meetings. Well, there are other ways that you can hear the messages that are shared here. You can go to the website, www.shannonhills-biblechapel.org. Go down to where it says click on a sermon, and you can go and you can find an archive of sermons, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. What a great way to spend some of the time that you could spend watching TV. Choosing instead to listen to a sermon that you didn't hear, or maybe to listen to one again. Another great place to go for trustworthy sermons online, or ones you can download to your computer or your iPod and listen to it later, voicesforchrist.org. A collection of thousands and thousands of sermons by different preachers who you can trust, that they're rightly dividing the Word of God. Proverbs 20 verse 15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And when you can hear the Word of God taught in truth, then God will use that in a rich way in your life to help you know more of the Word and to understand more of the Word. I'd encourage you to be involved in small group Bible studies where you know the people that are there and that you can count on trustworthiness. We have a men's Bible study here at the chapel. We have a ladies' Bible study here at the chapel. There are a group of believers here at the chapel that have a precepts Bible study. And there are other Bible studies that are good and solid and sound. I'd encourage you, if you want to know and understand the Word of God, get involved with one of those or another small group Bible study. Find someone who will meet with you one-on-one to spend time in the Word of God. Choose to fellowship with believers who know and love and share the Word of God. Make it personal. Personalize this. You know, we're coming up upon a time of year where somebody might want to give you a gift. And maybe they'll even ask you to make a list and ask you what you would like. Maybe a good Bible study aid would be something that would be helpful for you, would be beneficial. I just want to mention several things. A Bible reading program is an excellent way to make sure you have accountability, that you're in the Word of God every day, reading the Scriptures. I ask you not to forget the little phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if this past week you use that phrase in conversation with anybody. But I doubt many hands would go up because we don't use that phrase today. This is a picture of the New King James Version of the Bible. It's something I've been using over the past months, and some people have asked me, what version are you reading from? And the elders have discussed this. And we feel confident in this version of the Bible. It's the King James Version of the Bible, basically updated with some of the things like phrases like superfluity of naughtiness, which is not a phrase we would use. It takes out some of the verb endings that we wouldn't use today to make it more understandable. We want to understand the Word of God. It's spiritually understood. But no matter how spiritual I am, if you gave me a copy of a Chinese Bible, I couldn't understand it. I don't care how spiritual I am. In other words, we have to be able to understand the Word. So we're not saying everybody run out and get a New King James Version Bible. But will encourage you that if it would be helpful for you. Many of you are very familiar with the King James English, and it doesn't bother you a bit, and we encourage you in that. But maybe the New King James or another trustworthy translation. Again, not every translation is created equal, we might say. I would encourage you to ask the elders if you have a question about that. Our library here in the chapel. There are excellent books. You can count on those books. They're rightly dividing the Word of God. Use the books in the library to be a help to you. John Phillips is an excellent teacher. We have a number of his books, commentaries. This particular one I'm going to put up here is called Exploring the Scriptures. It's an overview of the whole Bible. And it's something that I'm going to try to do 2 Sundays in January is to give us a good working knowledge foundation or to build on the foundation that we already have. And this is a good book that I would encourage you if you'd like to get a good overview of the Bible and the basic purpose of every book in the Bible, that you would go and get hold of Exploring the Scriptures. Ask for it for Christmas if somebody wants to get you something. Here's another excellent book that I would highly recommend. I've recommended it before. It's a commentary on the whole Bible. William MacDonald's Believer's Bible Commentary. The small one on the right there is the old version. It's actually the same version. It's just a different cover. But I put that up there so you know, maybe you already have this at home. Pull it back out if it's gotten dust on it. But the new cover is shown here, the gray with the blue and white. An excellent commentary. The Word of God rightly divided. You can count on it. You can read along with your own reading and have William MacDonald, as it were, sitting there beside you, helping you to understand the Word of God. Commentaries, there are many, many, many of them. Again, some more trustworthy than others. I would encourage you, as you read your Bible, write down questions. If you come across something you don't understand it, don't just skip it. Write down a question. Have a piece of paper in your Bible or a notebook, and then go and ask someone whom you have confidence in. Ask the elders for recommendations of things to read. Here's another one, the Unger's Bible Handbook, a good Bible handbook to help you understand the culture in which the Bible was written, the times, the countries, the customs. And then out in the hallway, as you leave this room and turn right, if you go all the way down on your right, you'll see a number of Bible correspondence courses put out by Emmaus. And they're available, they're made free to you, the assembly pays for them, because we believe they are helpful and excellent, and the Word of God is rightly divided. Also, want to encourage you to use the internet. Again, there's a lot there. Some things are more valuable than others. One that I would highly recommend it is the eSword Bible Commentary, or actually Bible Study Program. It has commentaries, dictionaries, many different helps that go along with understanding the Word of God. You can go to eSword, just Google eSword, and it's free. There's a place if you'd like to make a donation, but that's not required. So I want to encourage you to personalize the Word of God. Bring it into your own life. Proverbs 10:14 says that wise people store up knowledge. Store it up. Begin to build a foundation if you don't feel like you really have one. Build on that foundation if you do. And again, on January 15th and 22nd, we'll try to give you some help in that. So decide to prioritize, to purify, to personalize, and then to practice. Very quickly, down in verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. There's that deception again. If you insist on reading the Word of God and Satan can't stop you, then the next thing he'll try to do is get you to deceive yourself that you're doing okay because you're reading the Word of God. No, you got to put it into practice. Apply what you already know. The Lord Jesus said, the person who is faithful in a little will be faithful in a lot. And don't expect to have a lot from God of understanding in His Word if we're not willing to put into practice the little that He gives us. When we practice what we know from God's Word, we put ourselves in a position to gain more knowledge and understanding. I want to encourage you to make a decision, to decide, to commit, to put into practice everything that you learn from the Word of God. That no matter what anybody else does or doesn't do, that you and I, we're going to do the Word of God. We don't want to be like the person here that James uses as an illustration, looking into a mirror in verse 23, and then in verse 24, seeing what he looks like and turning around and walking off and forgetting about it. Have you ever done that with the Word of God? I've done that with the Word of God. Heard a sermon, seen something, and reading the Scriptures, took it to heart, but turned around and went away and forgot it. Didn't apply it. I'm deceiving myself when I do that. Why should God give me more when I'm not using what He has already given me? Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "A good understanding have all those who do His commandments." And finally, as we close, decide to persevere. Look down at verse 25 again. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." The one who continues in. In other words, knowing the Word of God is a process. Knowing the Word of God comes through an ongoing building project. No matter how well we know the Word of God, we don't know everything about the Word of God. Even if you memorize the whole Bible, you still don't know everything there is to know. God continues to teach. And we've got to be willing to persevere. Gutzon Borglum in 1924, he looked at the Black Hills of South Dakota, and he said, "American history shall march along that skyline." He woke up the next morning and it was done. Obviously not. Obviously not. You don't sculpt that out of the side of a mountain overnight or even in a week. In fact, it was 3 years later that he began to sculpt George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and Theodore Roosevelt on Mount Rushmore. Most of the sculpting was done by experienced miners under his direction. Working with jackhammers and dynamite, they removed some 400,000 tons of outer rock, cutting within 3 inches of the final surface. He started in 1927. He died in March of 1941. His dream of the world's biggest sculpture was near completion, and his son Lincoln finished the work that October, some 14 years after it was begun. He had to decide to persevere in that work. And if we're going to know and understand the Word of God in the way that God wants us to, we're going to have to make a decision to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We've got to decide to prioritize, to purify, to personalize, to practice, and to persevere. Don't forget these victory principles. You've got to have the desire. You've got to depend on the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, to teach us. You have to have been delivered into the family of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And then you've got to make a decision. You've got to decide that you're going to commit. You've got to decide that you're going to put into practice what you're learning. You've got to decide you're going to persevere, that you're going to make it personal, that you're going to purify and put aside those things that are getting in the way. You've got to decide that you're going to know and understand the Word of God. Thank you for your time this morning. I trust that this has been helpful as a challenge and will help you as you get ready for a new year and as you finish up an old year. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. We're going to close our time together in prayer. Father, it's our heart's desire to express to you our appreciation for your Word. Father, we are greatly privileged in this country to have Your Scripture so readily available. Lord, there are people around the world who have never heard of the Bible. Father, there are people who long for the Scriptures that cannot get them. And Father, here we are. Father, all of us probably owning at least one Bible. Father, help us to know that Your Word is Your Word. Your communication to us, help us to take it to heart. Father, help us to desire to know it better, to understand it better. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who desires to teach us. And Father, we pray for anyone here who does not know You as Savior. Might they be convicted of their sin, and might this morning be the time that they receive the Lord Jesus and they're born again and begin to truly understand the Scriptures. Thank You for our time together, and I thank You for each one here, and I pray Your rich blessing upon them in Your Word. And I ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord encourage you as you study His Word.